Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Yo, it's your boys in the Mystery Crate.
Big up, tuna alert.
Ah, man.
Hello.
It's the first episode of 2020.
Woo!
And we're bringing it to you raw style.
Yeah, boy.
What?
Yeah, it was good though. I like your energy.
Yeah.
We're gonna have that same energy every Mystery Crate.
Guess what? Mystery Crate now is an MTV show from 1997.
Yeah!
I was gonna say.
That's
what it sounded like.
Was it Kurt Loder?
Well, Kurt Loder was like the established like journalist.
Oh, okay. On MTV. He wasn't like the fun, wacky guy.
No, certainly not. That was Canoe!
Yeah! TRL. Oh, we should do one on TRL soon.
Linda. Oh, I would absolutely. I don't know. Has anyone done an oral history on TRL?
I don't know.
That is a book.
That
folks.
Is.
Go ahead and get that.
We
were like stepping over each other.
Yeah.
So dang excited.
Yeah.
Yo,
I got the most fire read. I got the most bomb read from ZipRecruiter.
Yes.
Who's presenting like this entire Mystery Crate?
Oh,
because
wow.
Let me tell you, this thing is the bomb.
Yeah.
All right. So. First things first, let's get to business.
Yeah.
All right, we got ZipRecruiter. It's a new year. And you want to keep growing your team, but you need the right tools to help keep your hiring streamlined and efficient.
Who has those tools?
That's where ZipRecruiter.com/Crate comes in.
Those guys.
ZipRecruiter sends your job to 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there.
No, they don't.
With their powerful matching technology. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And as those applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each and every one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
Wow. How?
And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free.
Wow.
At this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Crate. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. ZipRecruiter.com/Crate. ZipRecruiter. Yo, it's the smartest one. Yo, Chris, C. Dizzle.
Yo,
tell him.
Well, what we have on the episode today is a bunch of cool things. Two things I care a lot about. Parenting and The Bachelor.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That sounds so bomb.
Yeah!
That sounds so bomb. I can't wait.
Boy.
And next week, we're going to talk to Ananda Lewis.
Wow.
So subscribe. We're not going to talk to Ananda Lewis. I would talk to Ananda Lewis.
I would too.
All right. But this episode, we're going to talk to Mike Golick Jr. Man, littered with guest stars this one.
It's called Bachelor with the Boys.
Yeah, the boys. Mike Golick Jr. going to talk Bachelor with my boys. And then I'm going to talk parenting because I'm old now because I had a secret baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to Izzy Gutierrez and Sugats.
Sugats is in this episode?
Sugats is even in this one. Yo, so get right to it, boys.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Later. Hey. It is time for Bachelor with the Boys, which will be a theme this year during The Bachelor, unless we have a woman on, and that way it will be, you know, more...
With the people.
With the people, exactly. Yeah. So we got today, we got Tony, we got Chris, and we got Gojo. What's up, Gojo?
What's going on, guys?
Dude, let's set this up, because a lot of people that come to the Mystery Crate, they might not be Bachelor people. So what we want to do in this first 5 minutes, let's try to convince people, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what happened in the season premiere, let's try to get people into the net. Let's try to convince people why they should be watching The Bachelor. And I think we all come at this from different angles.
Yeah.
Tony's a guy who claims he only watches because his fiance watches.
She does.
But yet he comes in here very eager to discuss it every week.
It's not about eagerness to discuss, it's eagerness to trash it, which is why I watch. I hate watch the whole thing.
Gojo is a single man who watches. I feel like you like the communal aspect of it. You live tweet it. What's your relationship with The Bachelor?
Yeah, so it's funny. I feel like most guys come to it like I was watching it with a girl I was dating at the time, and then her and I stopped dating, and I realized I did. I enjoyed the community aspect of it. There's a big crossover with sports Twitter and Bachelor, Bachelorette, the whole Twitterverse there. So it's a nice way to interact. It's almost, you know what it is? It's like being off duty. Like we all do sports full time, so we get to let our hair down a little bit, light a few candles.
Now, my relationship with it is I'm married, and my wife hates The Bachelor. So I'm the guy that's like, hey, honey.
Rare air for you.
Yeah, it's a really weird space to live
Progressive.
In.
Progressive.
And the reason that I got into it is because last season, Peter, The Bachelor this year,
right.
was a contestant in The Bachelorette. And so I saw a tweet, funny how this comes full circle, from Mike Golick Jr. last season premiere, where he tweeted one of his hot Twitter takes of The Bachelorette was, Peter sounds like at Chris Cody. So I was like, wow, this is all I need.
Got to find this guy out and see what he's doing.
So my intentions were just, I'm going to listen. I'm going to go see this guy he's talking about, and then I'm going to see if it sounds like me, and that's it. And in the 20 minutes that I waited to kind of see, oh, which is the guy he said? Does it sound like me? Does it not? I got hooked. Now I'm just full in. I'm going to be a Bachelor guy in through and through. So I'm here now.
You're not only Bachelor, though. You're Bachelorette. You're BIP, Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
They've got you on everything.
Gojo, you a BIP guy?
You know what? BIP was the last one that I got into, actually, because the first season I tried to watch that one. I was later arrival to that one than usual. The first season of any Bachelor or Bachelorette franchise I watch was JoJo's season when our colleague Jordan Rogers was the pick on that one. But the first season of Bachelor in Paradise I tried to watch, they had a little, you know, impropriety. There was a sexual assault allegation that went on in there. It got shut down. And so I was like, all right, this seems like a bad thing to jump into. And so this last season was the first time I watched. Very new to it.
All right, so let's now that we have the basis of like our relationship with The Bachelor, let's take a deep dive into the first episode. So you have Peter Weber, I believe his name is. He's the Bachelor. He's got 30 women vying for his love. They all show up to a mansion. They come out of the limo and they have like a 10 to 15 second moment with him where they just gotta kind of have their one liner ready to go and they get introduced. Tony, what was the big takeaway from the introduction?
So if I may, before we even get into the introductions. I had a fundamental issue with Peter being the Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I don't know if you're with me on this. I thought Mike would be the better Bachelor.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought he had more gas in the tank.
I mean, he's a looker, dude.
He's a great-looking guy, and he's just different, right? We talk about diversity, and I wanted to see Mike be able to command that role in that room. But we get Peter, who I thought was the third choice of, and he was, the third choice of Hannah's season, right? Like, Jed was better. Tyler, obviously, better. And now we got Peter. So Peter was almost like the third throw-in. Like, we'll throw in Peter because Tyler's too big now because he's dating Gigi Hadid and, like, the game's changed.
Yeah.
Right? So Peter, for me, I was coming into this Bachelor like, okay, I don't like Peter that much, so we'll see where this goes. Yeah. But it's funny how you can put anybody, right? And I think you could put Chris Cody, Michael Jr., Roy, whoever, anybody. Somebody will find them attractive. And that's the most interesting part to me is that all these girls are...
I could not be the
Bachelor. ...are crooning over... over Peter, and it's like, hey, he's a decent-looking guy, but he's not Tyler.
I will say, I mean,
he's
I think
Mike.
Peter is a good-looking guy. He's not jacked, and it was funny, the side-by-side I saw on Twitter of them making fun of, because who was the last Bachelor, the guy that was a virgin? What was his name, Gojo?
It was Colton.
Colton.
Oh, it was Colton, yeah, Colton Underwood.
Yeah, Colton, he was like, I saw a slow-motion thing of him, like, just jacked, and then there was a thing of Peter spraying himself in the face, and it was just like, this is the new Bachelor, that's the old Bachelor. So he's not jacked, but I like Peter, especially because Gojo says that he sounds like me.
Is that why you like him?
When he does get, like, when he does sound like me, it's when he's trying, when he's in, like, the one-on-ones, and when he, like, lets his voice get, like,
It's his game voice. It's like when he's trying to speak game with these girls, that's when he sounds like Chris Cody.
What are your thoughts on Peter as the Bachelor?
As a Bachelor, listen, he's got universal appeal. Like, that's the kind of thing is, you're right, someone's going to find him attractive because he doesn't do any one thing well. He's like a master of none when it comes to looks. He's more on the boyish good look side than he is like a rugged man, per se. My only real beef with him is, because we know he's a pilot, we are getting, over the course of this episode, way too many plane puns, because that's what this show does. God. He just likes planes a little too much. Like, it weirds me out a little bit.
And I loved how every single woman, I feel like they said at some point in this episode, I love to travel.
Yes.
Like, do they not realize that pilots,
that's
like,
not how that works.
He's a commercial pilot. It's not like he's just, like, jet-setting around the world.
I got a private jet. I'm going to fly you everywhere.
He works for JetBlue. It's like, maybe you'll fly free, but you're not going to be, like, just, like, you know. So,
yeah,
like, that was
you're
late.
Flying direct from Hartford to Tampa.
Right.
Like, that's
nice. It's a good flight, by the way.
It's great. It's a lifesaver.
But okay, so
first impression.
Yeah.
My first impression, everybody comes in. I felt like they were being overtly sexual to start it off. I don't remember a Bachelorette or Bachelor being as forward as these girls were.
I think that was them taking the notes from the previous season because Peter, you know, the biggest news from the season where he was trying to
the windmill
was the windmill where he had sex with Hannah like four times apparently in one night. And so that, I feel like they, and plus you want to be remembered. And I love, my favorite one was Victoria F., how she went, she's like, I'm going to stand out here. I'm going to tell him the naughtiest joke ever.
Yeah.
And then like 2 hours later, or however long, because obviously this thing's crazy edited, but he's sitting with her and she's like, remember me? I did the inappropriate thing. He's like, I'm sorry. What did you say again?
Oof.
And it's just like, oh, Victoria. And she started crying. There were so many tears in this first episode.
It's a reminder of just how drunk they all are. Like, yeah, that's the part of the editing that you have to remember is you look and you get like the single shot confessionals when people are talking and you see everyone's noses are really red at some point in them and you realize, oh, that's right. This has been hours of them just sitting and drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be a miserable experience. Like, cause you're there for like, I imagine like that night, that first night that is edited down to 3 hours. Well, actually less is like actually edited down to less than that, but. That one is, it must last all night, right? Like they must film that opening scene where they're meeting people and like having that opening happy hour. I feel like that must go much longer than it appears.
Got to take forever. And it's the, you know what? That one's the toughest part. Cause I don't know about you guys too. Like I'm bad at meeting a lot of new people all at once. Yeah, there's no way you're remembering all these girls' names. Yeah. No one's wearing name tags. Yeah. Like it's a really difficult thing. And then you've got to go through the awkward jockeying of, hey, can I borrow him for a minute?
Yes.
Ooh. The worst.
That's what, see, I want to get into that right now because we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Tony and I. So how do you think, what is the way to play it? Let's say that me, let's pretend I'm the bachelor. I'm alone with a girl over there. Like we're, it's a group date, but she moves me aside and I'm over there talking to her. When the other woman comes up and says, hey, can I steal Chris for a second? What do you think the play is? The girl that I'm currently talking to, Gojo, like, should she say, should she be should she be mean and say, no, it's my time? Or should she, you know, give way and be nice?
I think if it's me, I'm going to try and show, hey, I'm here to hold my ground a little bit.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to start out being a jerk about it, but I'm just going to say, hey, you know, we just started here. I'm going to take my couple minutes. I'll come get you when you're done. And you just be stern with it. You be quick with it. It doesn't have to be a big deal or anything like that. But I want to show the bachelor, like, hey, I'm here for the right reasons. I'm trying to spend some time.
And I think that the biggest point, too, is to not look like a pushover.
Right.
Because then if somebody comes in and like, yeah, can I steal them for a second? You're like, yeah, okay, sure.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the bachelor knows, hey, wait a second. Like, what's going on here?
It actually worked out because I remember there was one girl, her name was Cheyenne, and she was the one that didn't get any FaceTime hardly in the first night.
Mm.
And she was real worried about, I'm so upset. I should have been more aggressive. Someone came and stole them away from me. I just let them. But she ended up getting a rose that first night. So that played out for her. I find it interesting.
That's the interesting part because you had that on one hand that worked out, and then you had Hannah Ann on the other hand came and interrupted three times. It was super aggressive. And then didn't she get the first impression rose?
Yes.
Like, that behavior was rewarded.
That's the
difficult part.
And the standard has been set now. Yep. They saw her get that.
It's an aggressive season.
Yes.
It's like a season that we're going to look back and say, wow, like, everybody was taking their shots and taking hacks at Peter.
Yes. I thought it was funny. What did you think of the Kelly girl who, I feel weird saying girl, I should say woman, I don't want to be offensive. What did you think of Kelly who was, she had history. She met Peter a week before. I feel like that's a very unfair advantage.
Yeah, I was on an email chain actually with Mel Kiper Jr., who is a huge bachelor guy.
That's
not the big board, right?
We got to bring him in.
He'd be a great addition because he is famous. He has brought back the Bachelor big board.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he said, he agrees with the whole Kelly thing, is that he thinks it's an unfair advantage for them to have had this relationship. Because, I mean, hell, we even got, remember towards the end of the episode, him and her realized they are at the Four Seasons hotel that they actually met at, and they went back to, like, recreate it in the lobby. I'm like, you're giving her a literal home court advantage.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, when you have somebody that makes an impression from the get-go, like, weeks before almost, and then you bring back, you already have that relationship with them. You're looking at them saying, hey, I remember you. You're pretty good looking. Like, let's start
meeting. And it showed, right? Like, they were very natural.
There was chemistry there all over the place.
Were you guys nervous for Madison? Because she got this date, and she's like, oh, this is going to be fun, a first date. And she ends up at, vows are being renewed. And
yeah,
she's all of a sudden,
weird.
She seemed a little overwhelmed, like, holy crap, I thought this was just going to be a date, and now I'm, like, meeting his family.
I think it's putting her in a tough spot, too, because, again, it's not like you meet everybody's family on the first date, right? Like, this is essentially their first date, and you're going to go out and not even go to, like, a family dinner. You're going to the parents renewing of their vows. Like, nobody goes to that. Who goes to that?
Peter's parents, who were stars last season of The Bachelorette, too, like the sweetest people known to man, did these incredible. Peter's dad, big crier, America loves him. So you're throwing him in front of these people that we already love. So it's like, if she went in there and screwed that up, everyone's going to write her off right away. That being said, thought she did pretty well, considered.
Oh,
like an extremely difficult position, and I thought she flourished.
I feel like her parents showing their hand a little too much, though. It's like, look, I know this is the girl he chose for the first date. She brought her home. The mom was just like, I like you a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's like, don't commit. You're
but
committing
she was
too
like that
much
too
for
with
the first...
Hannah. Remember when Hannah went over their house? She was like, oh my God, I really like you. I really have a connection with
She's playing the game. She knows how it goes.
Yeah.
True mom of The Bachelor. Yeah.
Cuban, by the way. Cuban mom.
Yeah.
That, you know what? That was the one thing I forgot was that Peter was bilingual.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of the episode when he's dropping all this Spanish.
Yeah,
I said,
baby.
Adios mio. I don't know what's going on right now.
Cuban representing.
What was your guys' favorite of the ridiculous? Because that's their thing when they do the intros where they have to come in with like the lady. There were so many flight attendants. Yeah. They thought that they had their hand made.
The first
girl
thought she had it. She's like, I'm a flight attendant. Are you kidding me? It's a match made in heaven. Then eight other flight attendants came. I think for me, the biggest impression I got was the chick. I don't remember her name that came in the bag.
Maybe don't go chick.
I don't remember her name. What?
Which one?
The lady that... Is lady okay?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. See, this is a tough game, man. This is a scary game.
I don't remember her name.
I love you guys are going through the landmine field of pronouns right now.
Lady that came in the bag. Yeah.
I thought lady's safe.
Lady's safe, okay. Yeah. The lady that came in the bag, and then all of a sudden, like, everybody look around like, is there somebody in there? And then you see like, poof, poof, poof.
Yeah.
Hey, get me out of here. Yeah. And then she came out, and I was like, how did that even happen?
Do the producers, like, the hidden thing with this show that, like, I wish was a little less is that it feels very heavily produced. Like, there's a lot of, like...
Extremely.
Like,
yeah.
I wish it was a little more... Like, I feel like it is real. Like, I do feel like they do have connections and they let the love figure out itself. But, like, they like to throw the, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
they like to set it up a little
there's
bit.
There's a lot going on. And yeah, I don't know, man.
It is a little heavy handed when you're doing stuff that's so overtly, like, obvious to people on screen where you're like, okay, I get it.
You mean like bringing a cow out?
Yeah, like the cow. Like
that's my point. Was that
being
the
said,
cow with? Was that one of the woman's ideas, or did the like was that a producer that was just like, we got a cow here, who wants it? Like, is there like a big
a
bunch
they have
of props
somewhere? And they're
maybe,
like, oh, throw
maybe
it
they
in
just
there.
Have like 15 props, and they're like first come first serve, and like the one girl, the one lady's
oh,
like,
I'll take the
paper airplane, I'll take the red car. Or do you think
the windmill thing?
Or maybe they get an email from the producers like, what would you like to do? And then they can make it happen. I'm curious how that would go.
What was the budget on the cow?
Yeah,
you know what? I'm glad they gave the cow the dignity of having a name. It was Ashley P.
Yes.
And I will give myself credit as I was watching this. I said, oh man, that cow got a little bit of mention when the actual introduction happened. Going to be perfect for the post-credit scene. And sure enough,
you were right on that.
Brought it back for the post-credit scene.
You were right on. What was the worst one? The worst entrance.
I don't know.
You know what, like the weird, and I don't know if this qualifies as, I always get confused when they do like the little like vignettes on where they're from and their occupation, but when they hit us with Alexa C's, and it's like, oh yeah, like I became a caregiver, and then you hear the rip sound, and it's like, I wax vaginas.
It's like, whoa. Not expecting that
one. Oh man.
This is a lot for the first one.
This was a crazy first episode. There was a lot of tears early on. Yeah. They busted out a band to do like that date. Like usually you don't see that till like, you know, there's down to like 10 people.
Yeah. That's a super production on it, right?
Right.
Where you're having a band out of nowhere just play for like 6 people.
Yeah.
And then you're
the
like,
unknown country band that plays for the crowd slow dancing.
Exactly.
It's one of my favorite like yearly tenants of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. It's like, oh yeah, we have to act like this is a perfectly well-known group with a song we've all heard before.
All right. Now before we get out of here, we got to address the elephant in the room. Hannah B.
What was that?
If for people that don't know, just real quick, Hannah B was the Bachelorette last year. Peter made it to the final three, so her and Peter had a real connection. Obviously, she didn't end up choosing him, so they parted ways. And now this season, I don't think, Gojo, you have more experience with the Bachelor and Bachelorette than I do. Like, it's not that uncommon for a previous Bachelor or Bachelorette to appear in a season, right?
No, not at all. Usually the first episode features a lot of past contestants. A lot of times, if it's a woman that was a contestant on the, was on the Bachelorette, a lot of times they'll have her friends from prior seasons giving her advice, or they'll have guys from the past couples that have been married coming back and giving them the usual coupley advice, but they brought Hannah B back in this case to do first the first night she came back and brought back, I forget what like the knickknack that Peter gave her.
His wing.
Yeah, oh, that's right, his wing. So she brought those back so he could give them to another girl. It was supposed to be sweet.
Nice moment.
Give me a
break. Yeah, it was a nice moment. See, that I was fine with. That was them. I was like, I understand what they're doing here. They want to get Hannah, like the people that loved Hannah, they want to get them
in
this episode.
Well, and because she ended up dumping, so the guy that she did pick, Jed from her season, she ended up finding out that he had a girlfriend back home that he told he was just here to get his music career going. And so Hannah ended up undressing him on national TV to end last season. So she is notably single. She tried to go after Tyler. Obviously, that didn't work out. So she is notably single right now. And so they brought her back as kind of a bait and switch.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So then, so that part I'm cool with. The Winx thing, I'm like, this is sweet. It's just like a fine little thing. It's cool. It is corny, but it's just like I get what they're doing here. And then they bring her back later in the episode to be the host of one of these group dates, which also I was like, it's
a little weird.
They're shoving her at us, but it's fine. I'm okay with it.
Well, and it was talking about the windmill sex again.
Right.
It was rubbing their actual sex in these girls' faces.
Yes. So you think that's corny enough? You're like, this is going to be awkward for the girls, but then it really hits. And the way this the first episode ended is. I can't even remember. I was so it was such a long episode that I feel like I was foggy at this point. I don't know, even remember which one of them initiated it. But next thing you know, they're serious and they're having a serious conversation about like, do we still have feelings for each other? And basically it was the episode ended with
hell of a cliffhanger.
Is this going to be a regular Bachelor season or are Hannah and Peter just going to get back together? Mike, how is this going to play out?
Well, I think from what I've gathered watching the previews for next time, because Peter asks if he wants her to stay in the house.
Right. Yeah. Be like, a contestant. Yeah. And she was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Diabolical, which I respect him keeping the upper hand in this right now because she was the one that was crying. It was her. The producers made her come back and do this on her birthday, which is twisted in its own right.
Exactly.
I think she ends up in the house.
Wow. Okay. So you think she's going to just be a contestant, which is not fair.
But
we were just talking
before.
About Kelly.
It's uncharted territory. There's never been a bachelorette to then come back and be part of the group.
This is a slippery slope. This is a slippery slope. I don't know. I don't
they're
like
reaching.
This.
They're
I don't
reaching.
Want it. I don't want it. Gojo, are you cool with this?
You
like a mess, don't you?
You know what it was? Cause like you guys said, it's a heavily produced show. A lot of the dialogue at times feels like it's been staged. That conversation felt so real. I couldn't get enough. I was picking my jaw up off the floor, guys.
Oh no.
It was juicy.
It really was. It was real. Like that's the one thing. Like these aren't actors. Like Hannah B is not a great actor. So like I think that's what Hannah's appeal is and why she like won Dancing with the Stars. Like, I feel like
she's the girl next door.
I'm new to this show, but I feel like she has gotten a run with this show, like unlike any other. I have to assume that, right?
Yeah, you know what? People start to become part of the universe, but you're right. This is when they tell us the most shocking season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette yet, which is the lie they say going into every year.
Yeah.
They kind of meant it this time.
Yeah, this is not fair.
Well, Gojo, the question becomes, the reason why she's back in the fray with everything is because she didn't quote unquote find love, right? Like if she would have been dating somebody for a while and then, okay, well, you know, we'll see it on Instagram and then, just flickers away, she wouldn't be back here. It's that she had no end. There was no conclusion to her season. That's why they have to bring her back, right?
Exactly. They need to find, you know what? It is too unique a situation because you're right. Like a lot of these relationships don't work out in the long run and the people, are engaged for a little while and they do the Instagram tour and they sell some tummy tea and it's great.
Right.
But then it ultimately doesn't work out. Like this one was such a big flame out on a national stage that they had to do something with her. It's hard to blame them because she was a pretty compelling character. She did a lot better on her season as the Bachelorette than I thought she would.
She always needed a minute.
Yeah.
She always just like, I need a minute. Yeah. I'm sorry.
A lot of minutes being taken.
She loves needing a minute. Man, I'm excited about this season. I'm with you in that I like that if Hannah's there, like it's gonna just be a mess the whole season. Like there's gonna be so much drama. So that part's good, but
she makes it to the end, right?
I'm just kind of done with her. Like I'm just tired of her. I don't know.
She had the choice to make at that time in her season, right? Yeah. Like you made the wrong choice the first time. Then you tried to, make that happen again with Tyler. That wasn't gonna happen. Yeah. Now you're here with Peter and it's like, okay, now you're the third string. And, we're back together. Whatever.
That's the thing. I need Peter to have a shred of dignity and say, I'm not going to be the third guy that you go back to off of this, right?
I'm serious. He really does. I hope that he ends up, because I know they teased her making it, like, being a contestant back in the house, but I hope it doesn't happen.
That was my biggest thing with Peter. It's like, how are you going to now be the third guy?
He's
in
too
line?
Nice. He's always so happy. He's
yeah,
always like,
know your worth, Cam.
Yeah. Come on.
All right. I feel like this is a good first installment of Bachelor with the Boys.
Yeah.
Gojo, we're going to have you back. I love it, man. I'm so excited about this season.
Good stuff, fellas. Pumped to be here. We're here for the right reasons.
Dog, I am so primed and ready for the next episode of The Bachelor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. You guys did such a great job, especially that Mike Golick Jr.
Peter's got a big
Okay, yeah.
Was not expecting that one. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Can we say on Mr.
I would Ray? I would bleep it.
Definitely bleeping that one out. Yeah,
yeah. Bleep that one.
Four times.
Nobody got that one except me.
Only the people that watch.
So we're going to flip the script. We're flipping it. And right now, me and my homies Izzy Gutierrez and John Sugatz Wiener, we're going to talk about parenting.
Yeah.
It's something very close to my heart.
That's real, man.
It's real. It's real.
Yeah.
Real.
It's really real.
Enjoy.
Sugatz, you're actually in the studio.
Yep.
Well before the show starts. 45 minutes, which is well before.
And I've been here 10 minutes before that. How about that?
So you know what this means?
What?
We have to get content in the can.
All right.
I have to take advantage of this. Izzy Gutierrez is there, too.
Yeah.
So let's speak into microphones and see what happens.
Okay.
Sugatz, you were telling me the other day that you were on the precipice. Do you know what that word means? You didn't actually use the word precipice, so I'm using a synonym.
I have no idea what that means.
You were on the eve of something.
The eve? I don't think precipice means eve.
I'm trying to, but I'm giving you a three-letter word.
On the verge, maybe?
Or the sepis.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Verge is another one, but I was going like three letters.
Right.
Make it
Thank you.
Real simple for you.
Eve works. Thank you.
You were on the verge of what is the sweet spot for a father.
Yes.
Getting them the hell out of the house.
That's it. You will learn, Mike, as you know, you just had your first baby. You will learn as that child gets older, as you get older, as Cynthia gets older, that all you care about, all you yearn for, all you strive for in life is silence.
Hmm.
And I am telling you, there is nothing. I would rather be at home alone with no one in the house, just bathing in silence, than going on a vacation with my family at this point, because that is the ultimate vacation at this point in my life. It is. It's something to look forward to, Mike. I'm telling you.
Nude bathing in silence?
Of course. Yep. I mean, I am nude the entire weekend, man. Even when I play golf, I'm nude.
We have an interesting collection of people in this studio right now because Stugatz is on the precipice of getting his kids out of the house and finding himself all over again. I've heard it does wonders for your marriage. You rediscover love in certain ways with a partner that's helped you raise your children, because that's been the central focus of your relationship, I imagine, for all these years.
Yes, of course. On the eve is what you were trying to say, right? on the eve, yes. Mike, that's it. It's like, I am telling you, okay? Because all the guys, shipping container, everyone, you are recently married, and most of you, with the exception of Billy, recently had a child, okay? Doing things separate from your wife as your relationship goes on, as you get older, is vastly important to the health of your relationship. That's it.
You're marveling.
Are you mocking my hand gestures?
No, I'm trying to perfect them. Yeah. I'm trying to perfect them.
Okay.
But,
very important.
Izzy, you recently had a journey of self-discovery, right?
Yes.
You've been going to concerts now. Yes. Now, some people on the Reddit would probably call this a midlife crisis. I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is much deeper than that.
Oh, they say that about me?
No, they say that about me. So if they're saying
you're
about
not
me,
close to there yet.
Yeah, but you're not at midlife crisis yet. How old are you?
No, I mean, last year was also my very own journey of self-discovery as I was on the precipice of having a child and dealing
right.
with what that meant for me and my life, from that moment on and going forward. Who am I? Did I accomplish everything? These are normal questions to ask yourself before you have a baby. And I wonder, is this a too personal question to ask? Is a family in the plans for one Izzy Gutierrez?
Hmm. It's funny you should mention that, because it's those same things you asked yourself. I think a lot of people could ask themselves at different points or different events in their life, mm-hmm. and that was yours, you know, the Fabi, first baby, Sabi, secret baby, whichever one you want to go with. and to me, it was, you know, a negative experience in my life. And I asked myself those very same things. Hey, what haven't I done? Which was a lot. And what, you know, and things that I want to do, etc. And so my plan before that, before my divorce, and nothing's too personal, my life's an open book, was to have a kid.
I hope you have pictures because he's not reading it.
It's a, I mean, I have a special edition picture book. For
Thank
sure,
you.
So. I don't know if you want to see all the pictures.
No, no.
But they're in there.
But everyone should have that special edition, baby.
there should be an entire wing of the library for Stu Gott's books. Yes. Just pictures.
Dr. Seuss.
And I just realized that I'd had kids in my life, my entire life, from growing up with, you know, siblings to growing up with cousins to my mom, because my dad wouldn't let her work. My mom would just babysit. And so there's kids in my life the entire time. And then my nieces and nephews now, and I've got, let's say, 5-month-old niece right now and a 4-year-old nephew, a 5-year-old nephew. And it's just like, I've had my share of kids in my life. Now, they only come like, you know, a few hours at a time, maybe a couple of days at a time. And so it's not as exhausting. And so, for me, so matching those two things, living the fun life and still having that goal of a kid when I'm early 40s, I pretty much got to pick one. And again, I feel like I've had kids in my life, and that's expensive as hell for me.
Right. So you get them in small doses. I mean, that's, yeah, and you still get to have your fun. I think that's the way to go, Mike.
Well, I mean, I've had a child, and to my wife's credit, who's just totally amazing, my life really hasn't changed all that much, and it's astonishing. But we have a really good support system. And when, yes. as you get older and you have other opportunities at work and you start taking inventory of like, what are the pros and cons? And to me, number one with the bullet is I love Miami. I never want to leave Miami, but we have such a tremendous support system down here with my dad. I don't have a very large family. I have 3 living blood relatives, including my daughter. So, but her family is huge and there's always somebody that wants to watch the baby and we can actually have a life full of balance still. We're blessed to, you know, if we want to go out on a Wednesday to a movie theater, we can just drop the baby off.
I was shocked, like shocked when I was certain that you were going to come in every day and just be super tired and just make the excuse of the, you know, the newborn. And I was shocked when I heard you say you were hitting Art Basel, on a weeknight. With a Sabi Fabi.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, kudos to you guys.
Miami's a different town, mm-hmm. obviously. I can, like, just at time of recording, I'm on 3 hours of sleep because one of my DJ buddies had a birthday and I went out there to support him.
Last night?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Till like, for the boom boom.
Yeah. Be careful, Mike. I mean, jeez.
Yeah. I rolled into bed at 2:30 a.m.
That resentment that you don't think is kicking in from Cynthia, I promise you it's kicking in, dude. Like, well, I promise, Mike. Yeah, well, you're going to England for a week, too. I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's certainly tough. But look, I'm going, obviously, it just so happens, like, I would be going to England regardless for a couple of days because I like watching soccer and I would take rather than 3 days. But I'm going now for a week because of my relationship with Chelsea. And that relationship with Chelsea came at the right time as I'm building a family. You know, it's an extra job. And it afforded us the opportunity. I told Cynthia, look, if you want to stay at home, I think with the numbers, we can do this now that this Chelsea thing is coming in. So it's...
Meaning you're taking one on the chin is what you're doing. That's the way you positioned it? Like, hey, I can work this second job, and that means you can stay at home. That's a very heady play by you.
Well, I mean,
it's essentially what you're saying,
I
right?
I mean, not as evil.
In the meantime, you really want to be... You love the relationship you have with Chelsea, and you want to go to these soccer matches in England.
I mean, look, hey, the thing with Chelsea is absolutely a dream job, because I'd be watching these matches regardless, and now I get to, you know...
No, it's smart. It. I mean, while the baby's young, you don't want to get too attached. You don't want to see him too often. You just want to keep your distance, man. You know?
Everyone judges this. It's hard to explain. Look, we have our relationship. We talk it out. And I think the important thing is...
You and the baby
is,
talk it out?
Well, no, my wife. And I think the important thing is to make sure that it's fully transparent and that decisions are made as a parental unit. And you take everything into account. And I know a lot of people say, listen to that and judge it. But it works for us. And you don't know the total inner workings.
I mean, I don't know any other marriage where you can openly say, hey, honey, I'm going to go have a relationship with Chelsea. And she's totally cool.
So you haven't fully done a deep dive on exploring options for growing your family, have you? Because you're really enjoying life now, as you've recently found yourself. Do you have like a sort of line of demarcation where when I get to this age, then I'm ready to pack in all the fun that I'm having right
so,
now?
So it's interesting because I think I've passed that line. Like to me, it was 40, 41. It's like, all right, I'm done. However, there are in my circle very many women who have asked me to father a child.
Wait,
so
what?
It could be.
What?
Yeah, so how many women have asked you?
Ask me to donate, not necessarily to.
I'm shocked one.
And so I could always see down the road me having another human being that was part of me and having a role in that life, but not being the traditional father. That I can see, but open book. My partner's 26 years old. And so I don't know, you know, let's just say down the road we stay together. If he wants a kid, maybe. You know what, maybe.
You haven't ruled it out.
I have not, no. I mean, I would kill as a dad.
You would.
I would probably work a lot less than you do.
Money where your mouth is. I mean, geez, let's see it.
It is. Here's what I'll say, though.
Work a lot less. Mike's not a kid, and all he does is adding on responsibilities.
Yeah. Thinking of his baby first.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, really, it's a consideration for everything that I do, and it's gotten to the point now, like, okay, let me be real with you. The first 2 months that you have a child, it is a wet potato. It is crying, and it is really hard, and there are very few rewards because
the baby's a wet potato. I was like, I don't understand this.
It's a sack of cells, really, and it's just like, why are you crying?
I don't love playing with babies until you can throw them around.
Right.
Like, that's my thing.
But something happened around 2 months.
You can never throw around babies.
Don't throw them around.
Carefully.
But around 2 months, like the first time my baby started reacting to me and smiling, and understanding, like, oh, daddy's here, and this is a person that I recognize.
That's
when it's just like, oh, I didn't really have the Jeff Goldblum moment. It's rad when you hold, like, oh man, I created this, but it's really like, I was like shell shocked for the first 2 months, and
so you hadn't had kids around you like much growing up, right?
No, and,
or ever.
And honestly, like, I got in my own head with the pregnancy, and I really psyched myself out because I was working a lot, and I didn't know if I could be like the dad that I always envisioned. So like, I was really just sort of shell shocked by the entire experience. When I had my baby, it was an arrival, and I think I speak to a lot of parents about this. Like the first couple of months, I'm just like, please don't die mode. Like, I have to keep this thing alive. Yeah. How do I'm checking if it's breathing.
I mean, I'm not even a
parent. Seems a little intense.
I do that all the time with my little cousins and other kids. Like, literally, like, this is such a young, I just want to make sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Because, and then like when they're first able to turn around, you know, you don't want their face buried in the, you know, and then it's just like, you just got to watch them all the time. They're so fragile.
Right. Well, like, have you had a scary moment yet? Like,
no.
Abby was like, we were trying to get one of our kids to sleep when they were babies, and Abby was pushing her around in a stroller, and she was pushing her outside, and she realized there was a tiny little ledge from the inside to the outside, and Abby forgot about it.
Oh, man.
The stroller flipped over.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And Emma was on her face, and I was like, you didn't know until you pulled the stroller back over to the right side if Emma was okay or not. And
I was screaming at my wife.
But you also have the benefit of having twins, so if one goes, you're good. You still got the eye.
I still have Rachel. bad one.
There's going to be so many things that happen, and it's going to seem like there's no way your child's going to recover from this, or you're going to think that this will be forever scarred. My niece lost a fingertip in my dad's wheelchair one time. Just grew back like a starfish.
What?
Just right back.
Well, if I may, Roy and Chris Cody, you guys are closer to my age, and you've recently had the experience of having the wet potato grow into something that smiles and reacts. And taking what Izzy has said into account, I haven't had the scare. Is the scare coming? Have you had the scares?
I was half listening to what you guys are doing, so I hope I'm not like speaking.
Which is why I try to provide as much context before you
have
the mic.
I had this.
Actually, what Chris was doing, he was asking me for topics for the show today. I responded, "Go f*** yourself."
All right. What I'm really trying to say is I'm not sure exactly what scares you guys were talking about.
Let's have Roy go. Have Roy go, and then you jump off.
Okay.
Yeah, Claire pushed a tabletop, which was glass, onto the floor and shattered. And I was on the other side of the house.
Whoa, she was alone?
She was alone. I was working.
Good parenting.
Like a coffee table?
Yeah, not really. You know, smaller than a coffee table.
Okay.
I would say it was about 30 feet. I got there in about half a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like one long jump.
So you tapped into like the mutant strength that lies within every parent?
Yep.
Oh,
one long jump, grabbed it with one arm.
Yeah. So she wouldn't step on it. Really quick, because I have a broken glass story. When my mom was babysitting this child named, we called him Boo Boo, cutest little kid, randomly was choking on something one time.
Oh, geez.
My mom is a freaking superhero, by the way, when it comes to kids or killing garden snakes. And she somehow reached into his throat and yanked out, without hurting him, a shard of glass that he had swallowed, which I guess from some of the glass that had broken from way back.
Wow.
And did not hurt his esophagus or anything. He immediately went to the doctor. Absolutely fine. That kind of stuff is insane.
Yeah, dude. The choking scare that, like, I've never, you know, sometimes she'll eat something and she'll cough for 1 second, but then she's always good. So, like, I haven't had that scare yet. The only scare I have had, it was, like, last weekend. We were at Chick-fil-A, and it was just with the first moment of, oh, shit, where is she? Because she was right next to my wife, and I was throwing something away, and then I just whip around, and I'm like, where is she? And she's like, I thought she walked over to you. So me and my wife had like a 10-second panic of, holy shit, where'd she go?
Yeah.
She was literally...
I think that only happens to people on TV, blah,
blah,
blah.
She was 4 feet away, just like she had run around a corner. She was like hiding behind a booth. So she was right there, but it was just 6 seconds. It was like I beelined outside. Like it was just...
There's so many stories.
It felt like an hour.
So many stories of stuff like that. Of I'm sure Billy can relate. Getting a chichong, like kids getting big giant chichongs on their forehead when they take like big falls. And those you feel like, oh my God, there's no way that's not like... a second head growing out of your head. And I had my nephew one time was behind this bench swing, and it just hit him straight in the head. He had basically a tattoo of a screw in his forehead for like 10 days. I mean, kids are resilient.
Mike, did you kill one of my babies?
Yeah, but it was funny.
Yo, that shit was dope!
Oh my God, that was the greatest episode of anything I have ever heard ever! Oh man.
Love is powerful!
Love is powerful. Take care of your babies, son.
Yeah.
Take care of them.
Yeah. I do.
Wait, was that the parenting or the bachelor segment?
I don't know.
I was doing an outro to the whole thing.
Oh, I thought we were doing an in-between thing.
Let's work like Tarantino and go like out of sequence and shit.
Yeah.
My it's my bad. It's really on me.
Sorry.
So I guess coming up right now.
No. This is still the end. Let's say that. And then we'll like in real time, like, you know what I'm going to do.
What?
But thank you for listening. Subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends.
Sorry about this.
Yeah, sorry about all of this. I have my regrets. Yo, put it in the AOL, like, instant messenger.
But once we start, we gotta keep going with it!
This is really a runaway train!
Yeah!
Mike, what else should people listen to?
Wow!
Dog, I totally forgot about the South Beach Sessions promo!
Yo!
Fire in the booth!
Yo, I love...
You know what I love? Wrestling.
Yeah?
Tony Khan, president of AEW. That's wrestling.
Wow.
Director of analytics for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sporting director from Fulham FC. That's soccer.
Tell him.
He was the most recent guest on South Beach Sessions, which is a long form interview series hosted by One Day and Levitard.
He's really rich.
Yeah. In fact, the entire network is called Levitard and Friends.
Yes, it is.
His name is on the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
So check it out.
All right.
Catch you on the flip side.
With Ananda Lewis. Not really. I wish. I mean, I had such a crush. Love Ananda.